Welcome to Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Casey Porter here. So glad that you decided to tune in, and man, was it a huge day for the Dodgers. How about Mookie Betts? He had a huge day. Freddie Freeman had a huge day. I love the way that Gavin Lux is playing offense as of late as far as how the spring training has started. And man, what can you say about Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani is showing to be everything that the Dodgers wanted and more. That dude, it's just like I had a comment on Twitter. It was like he just glides around the bases. And I'll tell you what, man, when he hits a ball, it just absolutely stays hit, and he puts a charge behind it. And there's just a certain electricity. You know, the Dodgers scored all those runs early today with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani in there. And then those three came out. Ohtani got the three hits. He came out after his third hit. And then they didn't get a hit, or they didn't score. I think they didn't get a hit for like 17 hitters in a row, something like that. So, yeah, those three going to be the best three offensive players back-to-back-to-back in the game. Very exciting options for them. Going to be just an absolutely incredible offense. We have a great crowd logging in already to Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. We have a ton, I mean a ton, to talk about. How about all the debuts yesterday? The mustache of Michael Hobbs came back. You got to see that. And you got to see Josue de Paula. You got to see him hit an opposite field home run in his first at bat on the main field. How about Andy Páez? I know he went 0 for 2 today, but boy, did he impress yesterday with another home run. He has looked super, super impressive. Also, Kyle Hurt, man, that changeup. Wow. He was hitting 97 miles an hour yesterday, which he's going to ramp that up. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Hurt hit 100 this year. That would not be a surprise at all for me. I have him queued up right now. He will be the first video that we look at. And then Gavin Stone, I thought he looked really, really, really good today. The thing about Gavin Stone was that he was able to shape his breaking balls a little bit different. He had kind of a get-me-over shape where he could get his slider into the zone, whatever you want to call the pitch. Hey, they shape them differently, and they give them all different names, but whatever you want to call it. I felt like Gavin Stone had a smaller-type slider that had just enough depth to it that he would keep him from getting ambushed. So he had a strike slider. Then he also had a slider with depth, and he did the same thing with his changeup. He was able to shape his changeups a little bit differently, and he kind of had a get-me-over changeup that he wanted to make sure and throw for a strike and just, you know, stay off of barrels and keep timing bad for the hitters. And then he also had a changeup that was just devastating and tumbled and faded away from barrels and got swing and miss. Kyle Hurt was the exact same way. That Kyle Hurt changeup, the amount of fade that he created to it, it reminded me of Ryan Pepiot when Ryan Pepiot is throwing his fastball, or his changeup the way that he wants to. Let's go ahead and cut over to Kyle Hurt right here. Take a look at him just for a second. This is from yesterday's performance. There is the four seam carrying the bottom of the zone. There is that slider with depth. I want to show you the changeup here in a second, though. We'll get to it. I can't play longer than like 10 seconds of a clip. Let me back that up, and I will show you his changeup here in just a second. So Kyle Hurt, I thought his changeup looked more like a left-handed slider than it did a changeup. It was just super, super impressive. Here you're seeing him in action yesterday. That fastball right there, again, that is 97 that you just saw on the screen. Look at that changeup. See, he was able to add depth to that changeup, and then right here, see that slider? See the depth of that changeup and then the slider? Those are two just ridiculous pitches to go with the 97-mile-an-hour fastball. There's a slider that he pulled just a touch, but you're going to see a great changeup coming here in just a second from Kyle Hurt. That one got away from him just a touch. That changeup right there. I know that wasn't for a strike, but let me back this one up. He just threw another one, and I want to show you the changeup that he just threw that was just insanely good. There is a changeup, that same one that we saw that did not land. Look at that changeup. That's a left-handed slider, ladies and gentlemen. And when you compare that with that bullet, with that bullet slider that turns left, when I say left-handed slider, I'm saying it's taking the shape of what, you know, and speed of what a typical left-handed slider would look like. So when you have that kind of changeup that has a left-handed slider profile to it, then you can also throw a right-handed slider, and then you can also tumble it straight down. We also saw a changeup that tumbled just, it had no fade to it, and just had straight tumble to it. Then you can carry the bottom of the zone with, you can carry the bottom of the zone with the carry that you get on the RPMs with the fastball, then also ride the top of the zone. That's just lights out. That's why I always say with Kyle Hurt, when he is in the strike zone, it is up to him. Major league hitters are not going to hit that sequence that you just saw right there from Kyle Hurt consistently at all. Again, let's go through sequences. You've got fastball low, you got fastball carrying the bottom, you got slider turning left, you got changeup turning right, you have changeup tumbling, then you have sliders with more depth and four seam carrying the top of the zone. That was just simply phenomenal. That is a sequence and a set of pitches that not everybody can throw. Kyle Hurt is one of the few pitchers on earth that can actually get into that type of sequence and be that good with his pitch mix. So, hey, we have a great crowd logging in. Thank you so much for joining on a Sunday afternoon post-game talk as the Dodgers had a good game today against the Rockies. I actually don't even know the final score. I'm not going to lie. I don't even keep track of the score, honestly, of the spring training games. Hey, winning matters, but at this point, you're playing just to get experience, get the feel in the reel all back together. Hey, Joe Rampley, thank you so much for joining. Just a reminder, if you have not done so, hit that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Dodgers Dogs every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. I know that we've kind of changed our times up a little bit. We've done that to match up with some post games. That way it's fresh on our minds. We can get to it and we can get to our prospects that they covered and played, and it can be right on our minds so we can make sure and get to it. So make sure and hit that like button, leave a comment. Also, if you have not done so, become a subscriber. And then also, I'm always bad about mentioning this, make sure your notifications are turned on. That way, if we go live like this or whatever video we might drop, you'll be notified and you'll never miss a thing. Hey, Joe Rampley says Mookie Betts might get 12 at-bats each game in the regular season. The Dodgers are rolling. Yes, they are rolling. They rolled really, really, really good today. It was a lot of fun to watch. And another thing that I really like about Mookie Betts is that he's using both sides of the field. We've seen him hit doubles down the right field line on pitches on the outer half. We've seen him pull balls like he did today down the left field line. Mookie Betts is locked in. He is, to me, I mean, he's never not locked in. But I think the move to second base, I think some of the, could you say, constructive criticism, maybe that he's taken about his mentality over the offseason. Hey, man, constructive criticism is something that everybody needs. Everybody needs to be held accountable. So if you're coming at it from a perspective of, hey, this is what I see, honestly, I think you're really this good. I think you should be at this level. And I think if you could just do this, you could get to this level. If it's constructive from that perspective, then everybody needs that. It is simply fantastic. So I honestly think that he's taken some of the constructive criticism that the results need to matter a little bit more to him in the postseason. I think he's taken that to heart, and he is totally locked in. And also, I just think he's an infielder by heart. I can tell you right now, man, sometimes playing the outfield, you roam around there, you're 1,000 miles away from home plate, doesn't seem like you're ever in the action, your mind wanders, you do that day after day after day, you get back to second base, you're closer to the action, it just locks you back in a little bit better. And I think Mookie Betts is the type of guy that wants to be in all the middle of the action. I think he's the type of guy that wants to be locked in like that. And I think second base is going to do that to him. So I think that's very exciting. Joe Rampley says, any thoughts when River Ryan might pitch? It likely is going to be, as far as when we see it, after spring training is over. From the reports that we've heard is that, hey, River Ryan threw 104 innings last year, not pitches, innings last year, which He was a two-way player through college at UNC Pembroke. He was a two-way player with the Padres, just really threw a couple of bullpens with them. When he got to the Dodgers saw the big right arm, and then they transitioned him to being a pitcher. Let's go ahead and get to some River Ryan talk right now. And so he has not ever really thrown a high workload as far as an entire inning, as far as an entire year throwing that many innings. So when you look at River Ryan and throwing the 104 innings last year, that's a situation to where the Dodgers wanted to be careful with it. He is a guy that they are very, very, very high on. I've mentioned several different times, I think he's going to ETA in 2024. Even though he's not on the 40-man roster, injuries happen, he is high on the Dodgers list. And so when you look at a guy like Nick Frasso, Landon Knack last year, who ended up on the IL, Nick Frasso had to have the slight tear, the labrum, the surgery to that. That's something you want to avoid with River Ryan. And so I think they're just playing it precautionary with him. Look at that pitch right there. That is simply fantastic. So I think it's going to be with AAA Oklahoma City before you get to see River Ryan in uniform. Now, hey, as far as on video, that's fluid. Don't take me for verbatim on that. That could change tomorrow. The Dodgers have a plan. Baseball, it's the old saying in baseball, you know about the best plan. It just seems like it always crumbles, and you got to go to plan B. So take that for what it's worth. That's not inside information. I have asked River about it. Let me take that back. That was an incorrect statement. I meant to say that exactly opposite. I will not ask River Ryan about that because I just don't ask goopy questions to these guys. Sometimes I do get answers like that, like on the Ryan Pepiot deal, but even if I do, it's inside information. So there's just really not any way for me to convey that anyway. So let's just say that, hey, the organizational word is that they're precautionary with him and that it's going to be after spring training, but that is subject to change. So basically, I just spent 5 minutes and said nothing, Joe. I apologize for that, but that's really all I got for you right there. Hey, Yong Yi, thank you so much for joining. Again, if you have not done it, we have a wonderful crowd tonight. I say it all the time. Dodgers Daily, not the biggest baseball crowd out there, but it is absolutely the best baseball crowd, period. End of discussion. I will put you Dodgers dogs up against anybody out there. So make sure and hit that like button. Leave a comment. Tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily. If you haven't done so, become a subscriber. And also, click that notification bell, right? Click it. Make sure and get those notifications. Yong Yi, how about them Dodgers? Boy, they kicked some ass today. They came out hitting the baseball. Gavin Stone looked good. It was a good start for him. I really like where he's at. Hey, Brian Haynes. Hey, Bubba right there, my man. Bubba Haynes grew up in, born and not raised, but born in Dell City. My number one Dodger dog right there, Bubba Haynes. How you doing, my man? Thank you so much for joining our live chat today. Love you, Bubba. Thank you so much for joining. Yong Yi. Preview of what's coming for the Dodgers as far as the big offense, the big three, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani. Could be the best three we've ever seen maybe in Major League Baseball. Certainly three Hall of Famers. Going to be a murderer's row for the Dodgers. Ila Shiba, thank you so much for joining. I always say it, not the biggest crowd here at Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network, but the best. Ila Shiba always has great comments. It was cool to see one of Eric Karros' son playing for the Rockies today. Yeah, let me get you actually to Jared Karros. I forgot I moved actually my folder for my videos out here to my middle screen. I have three screens now. That way it doesn't have to appear like I'm just searching around and looking left and right as much as I was the other night. I did not like that look, so I thought I needed to make an adjustment there. So if I look left and then look back right, it's because I forgot. Let's flip this over to Jared Karros. Okay, so we saw Jared and Kyle. We didn't see Jared today, but you saw Kyle for the Rockies today. Jared and Kyle actually played together at UCLA. And if you heard Tim and Rick talk, it's interesting because Eric was at the end of the dugout and he was taking video of his son, and Kyle would play third and Jared would pitch, and it was really cool to see them both in UCLA Bruin uniforms. And Eric would be at every single game, And rumors would have it, I asked Jared this. Go back to my interview with Jared. I asked him, hey, rumor has it that Dad was way more nervous sitting in the top row watching you and your brother play at UCLA than he ever was when he played. And Jared just kind of smiled. Of course, Jared is very mild-tempered, and Jared is very calculated with everything he says. And he said, yeah, Dad really, really enjoyed watching both of us play for UCLA. So that was a very, very, very cool moment. Not the first time that he has gotten to see his kid play in that situation. Jared absolutely ended up 2023 on fire. Really, really had a nice finish to last season. I'm excited to see. Not sure exactly where. Probably going to start with Great Lakes. He got to Great Lakes at the high A level towards the end of last year. He's about a 92-94 guy, but look at that change up there. He's a guy that can move the ball up and down. He's a guy that can move the ball left and right. He's a guy that really, really throws strikes, and he has an advanced level of understanding of how to sequence. Look at that slider right there. Great pitch for Jared Karros. So, yeah, that was very, very, very cool to see Eric Karros there and getting to watch his son. Very cool moment. Justin Lamas, good evening, Justin. I always say it that I believe Justin is all the way from the Outback. And, hey, I've talked to two players in the Dodgers organization. Cameron Gibbons is no longer with the Dodgers, but when he was, I talked to him. He's from Australia. He's from the Melbourne area. And then I just got through talking about a month and a half ago to Liam Doolin. He's from Sydney. So, hey, if you want to check those two out, both Aussies and both were in the Dodgers organization, both played in the Australian Baseball League. And believe it or not, last year, both Cameron and Liam, both guys who have been pitchers in the Dodgers organization and relief pitchers, got to play together last year with, I believe it was the Australian national team, something like that. So that was really cool. And they both got to sit around and tell stories about what it's like to be Australian and play for the Dodgers. So Justin Lamas, we're going to see Páez sometime in June, aren't we? Let's get to Andy Páez and let's talk some great Dodgers baseball and Dodgers prospects. Andy Páez has absolutely turned heads. He is a guy that is just simply really just taking the Dodgers faithful by storm right here. Watch this home run. This is an absolute bomb. That's a tank right there. My God, he hit that ball a long ways. Look at that. Holy smokes. Yes, Andy Páez has just an absolute world of potential. He has a world of talent, and Dodgers fans are really having a good time watching this guy in front of their own eyes. Now, here's what's really cool for a guy like me. Andy Páez and all of these prospects are guys that one thing that about the Dodgers themselves and their fans, in my opinion, is that they have a hard time trusting their younger guys because they're always in win now mode. They want the older veteran guys. They want the guys that they have seen on a major league field. And they want guys that they have a track record of that they know what they're going to do in the major leagues. I get all that. But watching this spring training, I'm just getting comment after comment after comment about how Dodgers fans are excited about this guy. They're excited about that guy. So Andy Páez is not going to start the season on the 26-man roster. There's just not room unless, hey, again, things are fluid, things change daily, but it would be a major climb for that to happen. But what's really cool about this situation is fans are starting to want it, which means when he finally does get his chance at the major league level, it's not going to be as urgent. Like if he goes 0-for-3 in the first game, they're going to go, oh, this guy's a bust, that kind of deal. They're going to give him some run because they've seen what he's capable of. So when he does come up, he's going to be able to get comfortable and know that the Dodgers fans have his back and not have to worry about all of the results having to happen all at once when he first comes up. He's going to be able to relax and know that Dodgers fans know what he's capable of. They believe in him. So all he's going to have to do at that point is just relax and be Andy Páez. The same with Jose Ramos. I think you've seen enough of Drew Avens to believe in that. You've seen enough of Gavin Lux's offense Of course, the defense he needs to get better at. I have communicated with Gavin about it, just reminded him how good of a shortstop he was at the minor league level. His comment back to that was, hey, no panic here. Just trying to get back in the groove, get enough ground balls, and get comfortable again at shortstop. Hey, Max Muncy had a gigantic home run as well. Sure did, man. That was an absolute blast. And again, Austin Brubaker talks all the time about the margins. I think the 15 pounds that he lost is going to massively help him defensively. But I'll tell you what, it can also increase bat speed because, man, when you're rotating around that core, your core is where all of your strength comes from, or at least where most of your strength comes from. If there's more muscle and less fat at that point, you're going to be able to rotate faster and stronger. So I think 36 home runs for Max Muncy last year, he might be able to do that. And then because he's lost the weight, also be able to hit for a higher average and then get in position to be in better position to field balls, better positions to throw. So, man, I'm excited about Max Muncy, definitely. And he had a big, big home run today. Yeah, BC says GOAT, talking about probably Shohei Ohtani. It was a huge day for him. Shohei says, Ryan R. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for joining every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. We go live on Dodgers Dogs. We have a heck of a good time talking Dodgers baseball. Ryan says Shohei Ohtani is going to get 130 RBIs easy. Let's take a look at Shohei Ohtani and his huge day today. It was just simply awesome to watch Ohtani. And here's this triple that he had today. It was awesome to watch Shohei Ohtani. Look at that power. I mean, just the easiness of it and just the way that he's able to stay inside of that. Let me back that up just a touch and just look at that right there. See how his head's on the ball? See how he's getting ready to tilt down to the ball? And right there, see his bat is still lagging. This is why he is such a great hitter at hitting for power, but then also being able to be a guy that can hit for batting average. Look how his barrel is still lagged, which means he allows the ball to get a little bit deeper. But if you allow the ball to get a little bit deeper, that means your barrel's not moving as far. And so for guys that aren't quite as strong, that means the ball, the impact of the ball to the bat, the ball's going to win that impact. So to let the ball, that's why a lot of guys like to hit the ball out front. Plus, you're on your way back up, you're liable to hit it in the air and hit a home run. But to let the ball get this deep, I cannot explain to you how much strength you have to have because your barrel's not going to move as far as if you hit it out front. Shohei Ohtani shows a massive amount of strength right there, getting through that baseball and just tattooing that the top of that wall for a triple. That was an ultra, ultra, ultra impressive at bat for Shohei Ohtani. That's one where you go, you know, kind of like the Kyle Hurt changeup and then the sequence we saw just a minute ago. That's one where you go, man, not very many people on earth can do that. Let a ball get that deep, lag the barrel. And then another thing about lagging the barrel like that and letting the ball, one reason why guys let the ball get deep is because the deeper you get, you let the ball get, the longer you have to read spin and location. So if you get to read spin and location for a longer amount, then you're going to know where you need to get your barrel, right? Whether to swing or not, or your swing decisions are going to be better. Your barrel placement's going to be better. But again, the downfall of that is the massive amount of strength that you have to be able to do that. And here's another reason I talked about using your core just a minute ago. Let me flip this back over to Ohtani. Watch him use his core right here. The reason why, another reason other than the fact that he's just super strong, that he's able to let that ball get so deep, look how he just led with the core right there. See how his core, I want you to watch his core right here just slam through that ball. See how he rotates around that core and just really gets through the ball with that part of his body, and that is the strongest part of your body, and that also allows him to still have that kind of power, that kind of bat speed when the ball is that deep. That, I'm telling you, people, that's just something that only a few human beings can do to a major league fastball. Shohei Ohtani is one of them. That's one of those that is just massively impressive. Andy Paez says Joe Rampley raked yesterday. No doubt about that. Hey, Justin Lamas says Paez will make Hayward's leash short. I think, I mean, I still think Jason Hayward, I mean, I don't even think the Dodgers, I don't even think replacing Jason Hayward with Andy Páez, as good as Andy Páez has been, is even on the radar. We talked about that the other night. I'm not disagreeing with the sentiment there that the Dodgers – now, what Andy Páez is doing for the Dodgers right now, let's get back to some Páez video here because, man, he absolutely deserves it. What Andy Páez is doing right now, and as fans, we want everything to happen right now, and I understand that, and that's great. But what he's doing, I've said it several different times, the Dodgers want him to be the starting right fielder in 2025. That's what they want out of Andy Páez. If it happens sooner than that, great. It's not great for whoever got hurt or whoever had to get DFA'd because that's what would have to happen. He's not necessarily in their 2024 plans. What he's doing right now is solidifying to the Dodgers that he is the starting outfielder that they thought he was going to be for next year, years beyond, and maybe even the latter half of this year. He is solidifying that with them, with the type of spring training he is having. So from all of those angles, that is super exciting what Andy Páez is doing. It's something that Dodgers fans should be very, very, very excited about. And we'll see how long it takes him to get to the major leagues. I'll say this, and I'll kind of give my warning to this too. One of the defenses of keeping Andy Páez in AAA is that he hasn't played any AAA baseball yet. He got hurt swinging the bat in his first game in AAA, and so he has no AAA experience. That's one. Number two, you would have to DFA an outfielder to get him on the roster, and that's likely not going to happen at all this year. I mean, it could. It would take an injury or a DFA. Again, things are fluid. Things change. I say that all the time. But it's not likely to happen. And then, two, the biggest part of this, I think, if you were to ask anybody in the Dodgers organization, the number one reason why Andy Páez wouldn't be with the Major League Club would be we want him to get every day at bats. This dude is too good to go up to the Major League level and only get two games a week, maybe 5-6 at bats a week. This guy needs to be getting every day at bats to best maximize his potential and his positioning to help this club later on down the line, whenever that may be. So my argument to bringing up Andy Páez right now, or anywhere close to right now, as great as he's been, would be don't bring Andy Páez. I've said this 1,000 times. When you bring these guys up, do it when they're going to play every day. When they know they're going to play every day, whether they go 0-4 or 4-4, so leave Andy Páez in AAA until you know he is going to be the starting outfielder forever. And then you give him every day at bats, you let him get comfortable, and then he becomes a great player. I don't disagree, Mr. Classic. I think Páez is a better player myself. But I'm just playing contrarian there and giving you the reasons why if he doesn't start or if it does take him a while to get up to L.A., those would be the reasons why. Hey, BC, thank you so much for joining. Want to remind everybody, if you have not done it, hit that like button, leave a comment. Hey, we hit triple digits right there on Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. How about that? As Mel Allen used to say on This Week in Baseball. I used to love that show every Saturday morning. That was just a simply awesome show. If you haven't seen any of those old shows, this is Mel Allen for This Week in Baseball. If you haven't seen any of those old archives, go check those out. Those are simply fantastic. So if you haven't done it, hit that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily. Make sure and hit those notifications. Make sure your notifications are on. BC says Kings also won 5-1 today. Brett Rose said Gavin Stone threw a high percentage of strikes. Well, I would agree, and he threw it with different pitches. And let's take a look at Gavin Stone's performance from today, because like you said, it was very, very good. Let's push this on over today. Over here, here's Gavin Stone, and he is on the bump. That pitch right there actually was a little get-me-over slider that we – I didn't get video of because it froze up on me. So I apologize for that. So let me get back onto that here in just a second. He actually had a slider, then a changeup, and he got a strikeout on both of those. Here comes the next pitch from Gavin Stone. Here you can see, like BC was talking about, the high strike efficiency that he threw with today. And when he's going good, that's what he's doing. He's throwing strikes at multiple pitches to keep from getting ambushed. And then there is that changeup. That, my friends, is, I'm telling you, man, for a get-me-over changeup, for a changeup that actually lands in the strike zone. Now, it's one thing to say this was Ryan Pepio's issue for a while. It's one thing to say, man, I got this changeup. It has 32 inches of horizontal fade, and it has 117,000 inches of vertical drop to it. And you know, Ryan actually said this himself, and you're going, man, this is a great pitch. I can't wait to throw it. And you go out there, and these major leaguers just never swing at it because it's never a strike. So it's one thing to say that, hey, I've got this changeup that moves like crazy. But it's another to do this right here. And now watch this pitch move and watch the amount of movement it has, and then also stay in the strike zone. That hitter right there, you can see. Let me back it up one more time. Watch the hitter and watch his mannerisms. That hitter right there is thinking, now how in the world can a pitch move that much and stay in the strike zone? That's how good Gavin Stone's changeup is. He has a get-me-over changeup. He has, and then what he'll do later on with his changeup is that he'll remove a little bit of the fade, add tumble to it, which is straight down vertical movement, and at that point it's lights out, because hitters just simply can't get, they swing and miss on the one that absolutely just straight tumbles down out of the strike zone. So Gavin Stone, he also had that slider in two different shapes today, similar to Kyle Hurt. He had a get me over shape. He also had more of gave him a little bit more depth to it, to his slider. So Gavin Stone, he was just simply fantastic today. There's another changeup that he pulled a little bit. Let me back that up. This was really his issue last year. Ryan Pepio was in the same boat. See how he pulled, actually, it was a slider. He pulled that slider quite a bit last year. And by doing that, he's trying to hit that outside corner. He's trying to tunnel that fastball on the outer half with it, and he just holds on to the ball too long, and it pulls right there. That was an issue with him last year, but and it's been a little bit of an issue trying to find the feel to that slider this year. That's the one he's trying to throw. So here's what you're looking for. See this sequence? We just mentioned that he just pulled a slider just a second ago. Hey, it's spring training, right? So what does Mark Pryor do, or Will Smith, whoever's calling the pitches? Hey, he just pulled that slider. Let's make him throw that sucker again. Throw that same slider to that same location, and look what Gavin Stone does. He executed. Those are the things right there. Those are the things right there that you're looking for your young guys like Gavin Stone. Yes, they're going to make mistakes. Yes, they're not always going to be perfect. I love that, Will Smith. I love the fact that he pulled the slider. You forced him to throw that same pitch again, and Gavin Stone came through and executed it. That right there, Dodgers fans, that should have you excited. That's called an adjustment. Whether he adjusted his grip, whether he adjusted his release, whatever it is that he adjusted, he made an adjustment, and he made the pitch after not making it. That is simply fantastic. That was exciting to see. Hey, Yong Yi, do you think Emmett will be ready for the start of the regular season? If not, it could be between Stone and Yarbrough for the fifth spot. Emmett Sheehan, let's get to him. I think Emmett Sheehan will be ready from a physical perspective to actually throw to start the regular season. And, of course, we still have quite a bit of time left in the spring training. So there's time left. And I will say this, I think he will be ready physically to do it. Now, from a just getting in a groove type of perspective, you got to keep in mind with Emmett Sheehan. I would look at that changeup. That is absolutely dirty. I think they're going to be cautious with him. And I say that to say, look, see that? Now, see, this is a four-seam. Watch this. This is actually a four-seam. Watch this movement here. That's what separates Emmett Sheehan's fastball. It's almost 100 miles an hour, and it's riding in. Look at that right there. That's a four-seam fastball. It's riding in on a right-hander. That one right there. If you swing at it, you can't hit it. So in 2021, he actually started the season on, I think he actually started the season in the IL. Don't quote me on the exacts of this. But anyways, he was He was not exactly 100% perfectly healthy. He had some shoulder issues in 2021. And so it took him about three or four starts to really get going in that season 2 years ago. It would have been two seasons ago as far as playing on the field. And so he has a history of having shoulder injuries. And from that angle of things, I just think he's got a great future. He showed what he could do. I think the Dodgers are going to be very careful with Emmett Sheehan. And and also another aspect of this, you have Landon Knack. You have Gavin Stone, who's throwing really nice. You have Ryan Yarbrough. You have Kyle Hurt. You have other guys that can do it. You don't have to hurry Emmett Sheehan. So I would be surprised if Emmett Sheehan, A, isn't totally healthy and ready to go, but B, if the Dodgers don't slow play him and give him time to fully recover. Because it's one thing to go into AAA and say, hey, go out and throw a couple of innings. We're going to monitor everything. We're going to make sure that everything looks good. But when you get into a major league setting, it's all about results. Like, you can go to AAA and make it about the process and say, let's get the feel back for the slider. Let's limit the amount of pitches he throws. Hey, if he throws over 25 pitches in an inning, we're going to take him out. All of those processes are great. Not at the major league level, though. Every game matters at the major league level. So you can't really try to process Emmett Sheehan at the major league level. You got to go straight into, we've got to have guys ready and at the top of their game to produce results. And so will Emmett Sheehan be ready to do that and max out to get those results for the Dodgers? I'm not exactly sure that will be the case. And if Emmett Sheehan doesn't start on the 26th, I think it's going to be for all those reasons, to get him back into the process to where when he does get to LA, he's ready to go results-based and max out on it in full health. Hey, Kyle Hurt is climbing the ladder. I would agree, Joe Rampley. Stone was also very good, says Craig Osterberg. Sheehan should be ready to go at the start of the season. Yeah, we just talked about that. Young Yee says Páez is better than Hayward, but Páez may have no spot on the active roster. That's what we've been talking about. Hey, Ilya Sheva, Jared Karros is a Dodger minor league player. Karros is a Rocky player, both sons of Eric Karros. Yeah, Kyle Karros. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. That was very, very cool. Hey, Jared Karros, we talked about him just a second ago, Yong Yee. If you go back to the beginning, as a matter of fact, let's go back over Jared Karros. No reason not to. Hey, this is all about you and what you want to hear with the Dodgers. Jared Karros, we talked, is the brother of Kyle Karros, who got to pitch today for the Rockies, right here. And they both went to UCLA and both got to play on the same field for John Savage with the Bruins. And while they were playing with UCLA, I mentioned this earlier and talked to Jared for an interview a couple months ago, and he confirmed that his dad, Eric, would come to all the UCLA games, sit on the top row. And rumor has it, that nice slider there, rumor has it that Eric, the former Dodger, would be more nervous watching his two kids play than he ever did playing himself. So, yeah, that was really cool. And there you go. There's Jared Karros. He is in the Dodger system. And you got to see his brother, who he played with at UCLA, play for the Rockies today. So that was really, really cool. Hey, Mike Boyer, good evening, and thank you for joining Dodgers Daily. What a wonderful crowd we have here. Wow. We have been in triple digits. It is simply fantastic. Guys, I can't thank you enough for everything that you guys have done for Dodgers Daily. You guys rock. You are the absolute best. I love all you people out there. It is just simply fantastic getting to come on here and talk Dodgers baseball. It is just a lot of fun. So if you haven't done it, hit that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily. Make sure you're a subscriber if you haven't subscribed yet. And then also, the big one, hit that notification bell. Make sure your notifications are on. As I always say, Wednesday and Friday, best baseball crowd out there. I love my Dodgers dogs. Mike Boyer, Dodgers 7, Rocks 4. Brett Rose, Dodgers are good enough to split their squad and still win both games. No doubt about that. Yeah, Ilya Sheva says Jared Karros is still a Dodger. Brother with the Rockies, out talking back and forth. Hey, Joe Rampley, thank you for the River Ryan update. understand. Hey, Brett Rose looked more comfortable at shortstop today. Yes, it's going to be just a – hey, thank you for that comment. You know, everybody out there knows that I have a lot of experience watching Gavin Lux play very, very, very good shortstop, not just offense. Obviously, his offense is really good too. But I have a massive amount of confidence in Gavin Lux as a shortstop. And here, right here, let's go ahead and push this over. I have a massive amount of confidence of Lux at shortstop. I saw him at Tulsa. I saw him in Oklahoma City. I can tell you, I believe the manager at the time was Bill Hasselman. Don't quote me on that. Maybe it was Travis Barbary. They would swear by him at shortstop. Well, the reason why he's getting this shot, Scott Hennessy is manager at Double A. They're great friends. If you watch the video of Gavin Lux and Henny, when Gavin got the call from Tulsa to move to Oklahoma City, it was a great embrace. Gavin Lux loves Scott Hennessy, the Double A manager. Henny would swear by Gavin Lux as a shortstop defensively. And if you talk to Travis Barbary, I bet he would do the same thing for Gavin Lux. Whoever the AAA manager was that year, it was either Hasselman or Barbary. There's no way they could have come out of that season in 2019 with any other impression other than Gavin Lux is pretty badass. So there's a reason why he's getting this chance, and that's because there's a lot of people that know a lot more about baseball than I do in this Dodgers system that has seen it from him defensively at shortstop. And so that's why he's getting this opportunity. Plus, if you can have a guy that hits the way he does, I love the way he's playing offense, and he can be controllable, and he can be a guy that is very cheap and you're going to have for a long time that you can build around. That is just great for this team. Even better, the more that you can do that. So it's good to see Gavin Lux get comfortable. Dodgers fans, I've said it a million times, my biggest concern with Gavin Lux is they don't trust him a whole lot, and that's because they've seen him at a million different positions he wasn't comfortable at, and rightfully so. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying any of that, and I'm not saying it's guaranteed it's going to work out. But my biggest fear was that Dodgers fans were just going to panic if he came out of the gate early a little bit slow, which I figured he would, because another aspect of this, he has not played shortstop consistently in 4 years. So as good as he is, it's still going to take a minute. I mean, imagine you just not, even if you're really good at something, if you take 4 years off from it, and then also you're coming off of injury and you didn't play at all last year. I mean, you didn't field any ground balls in a game last year at any position. Imagine the amount of time it would take to get comfortable again. So, hey, thank you so much for that comment, Brett Rose. Totally agree. That is simply awesome. And I really appreciate that. Hey, One Eye Dragon. I always love it when One Eye Dragon shows up because it makes for great conversation. Just hoping they don't leave it all in Arizona. Yeah, they had a great day, but Dodgers look ready to go, says One Eye Dragon. Hey, Gregory, good evening, everyone. Hello to yourself, as Gregory says hello to me. My name is Casey Porter. I am on here as on Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. So thank you so much for joining. Yeah, Gordon says looks like Grove is the odd man out. Yeah, tough day for him. I would be surprised if Michael Grove. I love the young man. I would be, and I like him better in relief, like one inning relief. I mean, if you just look at his one inning, let's say that today was just a one inning situation. I think if he's a one inning guy, I think his stuff can play up pretty good and he could be more effective from that perspective. But yes, I would agree with you. I think the odds on favorites are that Michael Grove starts at the AAA level. One Eye Dragon, as always, an embarrassment of pitches. Yeah, pitches. Embarrassment, not an embarrassment of riches, embarrassment of pitches. Hey, Young Yee, there are many right-handed pitchers available to crack into the active roster. Vesia should be sent to the minors. I want to see more of Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson, by the way, let me tell you this story. And this is really cool, okay? To me, it is. It may not be to you. I don't know. But one cool thing about getting to do this is that you get to dictate your cool stories, right? You get to tell them. Okay, so this is Justin Wilson that we're seeing on the screen here. The Fresno State Bulldogs, whatever year it was, 2009. I'm probably way off of my year. Don't quote me on the year. Do you remember that improbable run that Fresno State had in the College World Series? And they actually got over the hump and won the College World Series however many years ago it was? That, my friends, and of course I'm a huge Oklahoma State fan. Oklahoma State in the 80s made the College World Series 7 times in a row. They were in the finals 3 different times. Robin Ventura, Pete Incaviglia, Jeremy Burnett, Mike Day, all those guys. I mean, they just had one major leaguer after that. John Farrell, who was the manager of the Red Sox, they had him for a while, right? So they had all these dudes, all these major league dudes, and never were able to get over the hump and win that finals game. So when Fresno State, a mid-major, was able to go to the College World Series and actually get over that hump and actually win the College World Series, that was pretty kick-ass for me. And guess who their dude was? Justin Wilson, Fresno State. So just like Alec Gamboa, the people in the Central Valley are super pumped about this guy because he is absolutely a rock star in the Fresno area. So, hey, I am rooting. I love Alec Gamboa. I love John Rooney. I've gone on record as saying the Dodgers need to do right by those guys. But this guy, Justin Wilson, I will be just absolutely shocked. I'll say that. That's a pretty dramatic statement to make. Let me back up. I will be surprised. Let me not be that quite that dramatic. I will be surprised. Let me back this up and let you look at this back foot slider here that Justin Wilson just threw. I will be surprised. There's his four-seam fastball in the outer half. So here's the sequence, four-seam on the outer half, and then four-seam on the outer half, and then you're getting ready to see that right there off of that same four-seam tunnel and then to the back foot. And that's a really good sequence for Justin Wilson. I will be surprised if this guy doesn't turn out to be a pretty large part of this Dodgers team this year. I just think this just smells like the next veteran success story for the Dodgers. It just all fits together for me. The way that he pitches, the needs of the Dodgers, just the type of dude that this guy is. I just smell success story for him. I've been wrong a million times. I'm going to be wrong a million times more in my life, and I could be wrong in this situation. And if I am, I think you guys know me well enough, I will come out straight up and say, hey, look at that nice little slider sweeper to a lefty. I will come out and say, hey, I was wrong on this guy too, but we'll see. Hey, One Eye Dragon says sign Blake Snell. Yeah, Blake Snell, the rumors are that he is willing to take shorter years. I think that's been the biggest hang up with him. Hey, Gregory, please smash that like button and share the stream out. I would agree with that. We've had a great crowd. We've been over triple digits several different times. Normally, I did like Paez's second at bat. He laid off a slider off the plate, then fouled off a tough slider on the black and worked to get a walk. That, for me, was encouraging. Norm, this is why Dodgers Dogs, as part of the Dodgers Daily Network, has the best crowd, period. End of discussion. Best baseball discussion you can find. That is an elite comment, Norm. That's also why Andy Paez doesn't strike out an enormous amount for the amount of power he has. This is a guy in Andy Paez that could be closer to 20% in strikeout rate than he is 25% and still hit 25, 30 home runs and then have a walk rate 13, 14, 15%. This is a guy that can do that, and you got to see it, Norm, with your own eyes and the reasons why he's capable of that on a spring training field today. And so thank you so much for bringing that up. Thank you so much for highlighting that and reminding everybody else of that at-bat for Andy Paez, where you got to see all those skills on display. Hey, elite comment there, Norm. Well done. That is simply fantastic. One Eye Dragon says, let's go Ohtani and the other Dodgers. BC, Shohei, Mookie, Freddie hitting 300. That is a murderer's row, no doubt about it. Either Shiva Will Smith is going to get massive RBIs due to his place in lineup. I say it. I'm going to say it again. Dodgers Dogs has the best crowd out there. Another elite comment. Just absolutely simply elite. Will Smith, when you're talking about the murderer's row, you're talking about Max Muncy, Tio Hernandez, you're talking about a guy, Will Smith, who, by the way, Norm, you're talking about Andy Paez swinging at the right pitches and fouling off pitches and doing all this. Will Smith, there's nobody that has better plate discipline and knows how to swing at the right pitches better than Will Smith. So when you take that plate discipline that he has and his ability to swing at the right pitches, and then you sandwich him around the guys in this lineup, holy cow. The potential for that is simply off the charts. So Ila Shiva, I totally agree. That is a massively elite comment to make. Well done. Thank you so much for that comment. Hey, Yong Yi says, Lux is progressing. This guy's good. I'm telling you, he's capable of it. Let's let him get comfortable. Again, I'm going to say it. Nobody can guarantee success for this guy as a defensive player at shortstop because he's never done it consistently at the major league level. Until you've done it at the major league level, you can't guarantee anything. But I will say it again. I say it all the time. He is capable. Hey, Yong Yi says Hayward is regressing. He did get a hit today. Otani has very good speed, Craig says. Hey, Mike M, thank you so much for joining every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. 50 home runs for Otani this year. Yeah, that would be great. Triple Crown says One Eye Dragon. Otani could be 40-40 a la Acuna this season, and MVP says Yong Yi. Craig says first Dodger since Sean Green to hit 4 home runs in a game. Oh, Sean Green, he had a sweet left-handed swing, didn't he? Mike M, how many times will Mookie, Freddie, and Otani go back-to-back-to-back? Hey, and how many times will they do it to start the game off? How about being up 3-0 after the first 3 hitters of the game? That would be fun, won't it? I think that's going to happen, and I think you're right. They're going to go back-to-back-to-back several different times. Yeah, One-Eyed Dragon, oh, Mel Allen, how about that? This is This Week in Baseball from Mel Allen. I love that show. Hey, Mr. C. Bad Pawheads will be the 2025 NL Rookie of the Year. And yes, I drink. Mr. C. Bad bringing it, bringing the goods early on. That sense of humor that Mr. C. Bad always brings, bringing it strong early in this show. Hey, One Eye Dragon, Miss Vin. Vin was absolutely the best. Well, we're past all the fuss and feathers. We've had all the pomp and circumstance, and it's time. Oh, man, they play that in Oklahoma City, and it just absolutely gets me going. One-Eyed Dragon says, I'm stoned. I got stoned on some Gavin Stone today, right? Tamatli, hey, I love it when Tamatli joins. Tamatli is just an incredible baseball person. Saturday afternoon game of week on NBC, the good old days. It seemed like This Week in Baseball was always dominated by Tim Raines, Rock Raines, when he was with the Montreal Expos. Man, I love that show. The Home Run Derby was fun, too. Mickey Mantle, by the way, Mickey Mantle is from Commerce, Oklahoma, a really, really, really small town in Oklahoma, the northwest corner of Oklahoma. And he was obviously a great with the Yankees Hall of Famer. And he would always come to Oklahoma State games. And so I got to meet him, get his autograph several different times at OSU games. And it was really cool. It was really cool just to get to meet him. And so Mickey Mantle, always when I think of home run derby, the first guy for some reason that always pops into my head is Mickey Mantle. That old show was really, really, really fun. Games of the week were fun. One of the reasons why I'm a Dodgers fan in Oklahoma, it seemed like the game of the week was always the Dodgers and somebody, the Yankees and somebody, and sometimes it was the Dodgers against the Yankees. So that was fun. Hey, how about Roky Sasaki? Hitting 96 miles an hour already. That dude is really, really good. Yeah, hey, One-Eyed Dragon worker. All right, Ila Shiva Jones, why is Cartaya listed as injured? I don't have any information on a Cartaya injury, so sorry about that. I have not asked anybody, and I probably wouldn't get an answer anyway, so I do not have any answer on the Cartaya injury. Sorry about that. Ila Shiva, great to see Muncy back out there. Cartai has back problems, says Gordon Ames. Hey, Mike M says, Miller hurt, Sheehan Stone. All look good. I would agree with that. Tamatli, take the 2023 Miller approach with Sheehan. And River Ryan, too. I don't disagree with you at all on that. Hey, you've got plenty of guys that can take that spot. Relax it. Let them get comfortable. Let them get full strength before you got to go results-based with them and go from there. Mike Boyer, are there any rookies playing these spring training games forcing their way onto the big league Dodgers roster? Well, the one guy that it would be that isn't projected to be on the 26th would be Andy Páez, but I just, like I said, I just think from a numbers perspective, probably not going to happen. I would say the guy that most likely is, is making his case that he's going to be on the 26-man roster, the two guys the most, is this guy right here, Gavin Stone. I'm telling you, people, and I've said this many different times, and you guys know this better than I do because you guys are just wonderful baseball people. You got to let these guys get comfortable. When you, I say it all the time, and I promise I won't go on a tangent tonight, but when you take these guys up, you bring them up, and they have two games, and maybe they struggle, then they have to go back down, up, down, up, down, up, down. They never get comfortable. What we're seeing with Gavin Stone right here is the adjustments that he made last year to get the ball in the strike zone without getting ambushed, and so he's able to throw strikes early in the count to get in ahead in the count, so then he can bury hitters, and then you saw that good slider that we mentioned just a minute ago. But really what you're seeing with Gavin Stone is he knows exactly what his role is right now. He knows when he's going to pitch. He knows where his feet are going to be at every single day. That's a term that these guys like to use quite a bit. And because of that, he's gotten comfortable. And because he's gotten comfortable, you're actually able to see him pull a slider, but then make an adjustment and then get it back in the zone the next pitch. So Gavin Stone, I say that all to say, you got to give these guys time to get comfortable in their role, in their major league skin, and then also not just get comfortable. You got to give them time to make adjustments, man. Major League Baseball is like the hardest sport ever to play. Look at that great changeup for a strike. And if you don't believe me, like you watch a Major League Baseball guy go shoot a basketball, usually they look pretty coordinated, right? You see a guy, Major League Baseball, throw a football. You're like, oh, I bet he was the high school quarterback on their team. Matter of fact, Michael Bush and Ryan Pepiot were, and guys like that. So they're coordinating. But if you watch a basketball guy or a football guy swing a bat, they look like they've never played a sport in their life, you know? So it's a situation to where Major League Baseball is just really, really hard. And so you go up there and very, very, very few of these guys just hit the ground running and are perfect right off the bat. So these guys need in a period where they also need to be able to make adjustments as well. Gavin Stone went back down to AAA last year, made a bunch of adjustments. They brought him back up here for spring training, let him show off those adjustments that we have seen, and he has just done really well. So I think Gavin Stone is one guy that is forcing his way onto that 26-man roster. That is not a guarantee by the way he's pitching, and more so just the way that he looks. And then this guy right here, Kyle Hurt, just simple domination. This is a guy that has an upper echelon. I've been saying this, guys. I've told you I don't do prospects list, and I don't do them for a reason. Kyle Hurt's my number one pitcher in this organization, prospect-wise. I've said that. Of course, Bobby Miller no longer a prospect at the major league level. This dude's big time, man. This guy is a dude. His stuff is off the charts. It's always been a matter of that right there. Repeating his delivery and staying in the zone. But when he stays in the zone, nobody has better stuff than Kyle Hurt. He thinks like a dude. He pitches like a dude. He's just simply, he has an elite top shelf type of right arm. I think this guy, Kyle Hurt, I don't know how any way, shape, or form at this point, the Dodgers could even consider not starting him on the 26-man roster. So when you talk about two prospects that actually will make the 26-man roster, I think it's probably Gavin Stone and Kyle Hurt. And if you had to ask me in order, I would say Hurt 1 and Stone 2. And that's just because Kyle Hurt has the bigger stuff, the higher profiled stuff in terms of velo and all of that, in terms of being able to get strikeouts based on that high profile stuff. And so that's where I would put that as far as the two prospects that I think are forcing their way onto the roster. Yeah, Gordon Ames says, still haven't seen my boy Jake Pilarski. I have not reached out to him. I don't know what's going on with him. Let's look at some Pilarski video and talk about him. Talk about the 101 Express, a guy that can simply rush it up to home plate. No doubt about that. Jake Pilarski can certainly do that. He is very, very good. And he has basically six pitches. I talked to him about a month and a half ago. He has a four-seam, a two-seam, a slider, a curveball, and then he can also shape his slider in a couple of different ways. So basically he has six pitches in a You know, a relief role. Yeah, I have not seen Jake Pilarski yet, so good catch on that. Hey, the Brewers play-by-play announcers were loving Lux yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what, they loved him for a reason. Let me flip this back over and show you exactly what they were so excited about in Gavin Lux, if I can get to it and actually get to where he actually hit yesterday. I think this is it right here. Yeah, this is the Brewers game yesterday. Let me get you an open-faced look at Gavin Lux here and show you why they were so excited. And obviously, these major league guys, they know a lot more about it than I do. But I kind of wanted to show you what it was about Gavin Lux that is just so tremendous. Here it is right here. Here's the open look. Now, what I want you to show you, now watch his head. See how his head stays in the middle? Consider the bottom two of that being that being the bottom of the triangle. Now, watch his head right here. Okay. Right there. See how his head's right in the middle of his body? That is just absolutely perfect. Look at this power L right here. That is perfect. Hitting off of a firm front side. That is perfect. Now let's watch the path of his hands. Makes that perfect path right here. Down to the ball and then flat through the ball up in the front. Watch this pattern. Watch this path. See that? Well, and then here also he gets that stretch by pointing the barrel. See how his hands went down? Let me back that up. And then get you, let me actually speed that up. I'm going to move this right here. Let me slow that down, I should say, and change the speed to that so we can actually get a better look at this. And watch Gavin, watch his hands. Watch the path his hands take. Yep, let me get back to it in just a second. I am massively failing you here. Sorry about that. Here we go, right here. All right, let's watch the path of his hands. This is just simply fantastic. Stretch to the catcher right there. Hands coming down to the ball there. And then at the front, up through the ball at the front. That is picture perfect offense. That's a picture perfect swing for Gavin Lux, and that is why they were going on and on and on about the way that he swings the bat, because he is really, really good as far as the way he swings it. Hey, One Eye Dragon Lynn just gave up another home run. Yeah, Lance Lynn. Yong Yi says Evan Phillips looks great too. His name rarely comes up though. Yeah, the reason why Yong Yi, that Evan Phillips' names didn't come up a whole lot on this show, is because he is one of the guys that I think we all agree, and well, obviously he's going to be on the 26th, and I think we all agree that he's going to be just his simply fantastic person and fantastic pitcher, and so there's not really a whole lot to evaluate. I mean, if I were to evaluate Evan Phillips, I'd say, hey, he's a great pitcher, he's going to have a great year, and he's going to be in high leverage moments, and that's about, I think, all you need to hear about Evan Phillips, because I think that's pretty much what he is. Hey, Casey, are you related to Ross Porter? Casey. Yeah, no, I am not related to Ross Porter. Ross, and that I know of. Ross is actually from Oklahoma. He is a University of Oklahoma fan, but I am actually not related to Ross. And yeah, Coach Holt is not with me on Friday. He's coaching right now his high school team. And so he will be back, I promise, Craig. Coach Holt will start coming back on a consistent basis with us, especially as the season starts. Yong Yi, do you think Daniel Hudson will make opening day roster? I hope so. It's a matter of math. I think the Dodgers want as many veterans as they can possibly get. So let's actually go through this roster and let's talk about it together. And let's actually try to figure out what's going to happen with Daniel Hudson, because that's a great question. And I would like to kind of go over this myself, just to put it in my own brain. So here you go. Ryan Brazier's one, okay? These are going to be guarantees. Tyler Glasnow, two. Brusdar Graterol, three. You got Joe Kelly, four. You got Bobby Miller, five. James Paxton, six. Evan Phillips, seven. You got Blake Treinen, eight. You've got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, nine. Ryan Yarbrough, 10. So that leaves three spots for Fireisen, Gage, Grove, Hurt, Knack, Sheehan, Stone, Vanasco, Varlin, Vesia. Let's say that Alex Vesia gets kept because he's left-handed. That makes two. At that point, I think you probably keep Daniel Hudson, and then you probably keep one of Kyle Hurt or Gavin Stone. I think that's the way the Dodgers would go. So I would say yes. I think Daniel Hudson is favored to make the opening day roster. That's a great question. So thank you for that question. Yes, Evan Phillips, Ila Shiva is a total stud. Yeah, Sean Green had the sweetest swing. He sure did. Hey, BC, where do you watch college baseball? Well, mainly at Oberate Stadium. I get to go to all Oklahoma State games. Sometimes I go watch them on the road. And then whenever I don't get to go watch them in person, I watch them on Watch ESPN. And I get, matter of fact, if you go over to my O-State Daily site, I got an O-State Daily site just like my Dodgers Daily and the YouTube and Twitter and all that if you wanted to catch up on OSU baseball. Hey, Denard, good evening. Hello, Dodgers dog. So what's the deal with Blake Snell? Are we in on him? Not anything that I've heard of. I have not heard anything about the Blake Snell deal. But the Dodgers keep things close to the vest. I think the Tyler Glasnow thing came out of nowhere, so that does not mean anything. Hey, I wish they'd bring back the Wild World of Sports. Me too, Gregory. That was simply a fantastic show. Could not agree more. Evan Phillips looks great. Yes, that's back to Young Yee's comment. Hey, Denard says, Hayward is off to a slow start. Gipaw has an opportunity opening day, just like they did with Altman. The problem is, Denard, is that you can't send Jason Hayward down to the minor leagues because he doesn't have any options. So if you do that, you would actually have to DFA him, and Jason Hayward would no longer be in your organization. So that's not so. Whenever you commit to Andy Páez, it's going to be committing to him over Jason Hayward, and that's going to take a while. Hey, One Eye Dragon says Smith looks ready. Hey, and One Eye Dragon also says, we mentioned that a minute ago, Sean Green had a sweet swing. And Gregory said, or One Eye Dragon says, the thrill of victory. And Glenn Kamita, hey Glenn, thank you so much for joining every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Times have been different because we've been post game as opposed to our normal 6 o'clock Pacific. But thank you so much for joining. If you haven't done it, hit that like button. We have 48 likes. I like to get that thing up to 100. If you haven't done it, hit that like button. Also become a subscriber. Shoot this thing out. Tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily. And then also hit that notification button. Yeah. And Gordon Ames says another dark horse rookie is Austin Gauthier. Yes, Austin Gauthier, it would be a big climb for him, but he is having a very good spring. Is there room for Páez to be on the opening day roster? Not as it sits, Glenn. It's going to take somebody like Jason Hayward to get DFA'd at this point. Hey, Casey, this is from Benji. How about Josue de Paula? Let's talk some Josue de Paula. How about that, the young 18-year-old going oppo yard yesterday? How much fun was that to watch yesterday? Right here, let's push that thing on over, and let's watch Josue de Paula hit a yak right there. How about that, Josue de Paula? And the interesting thing about that is, you know how many home runs he hit for Rancho last year? A grand total of 2. This is a guy, I've said it time after time after time. Let me click back to him. I did not mean to click over. This is a guy right here. I've actually put it on my social media, Bernie Williams. He has Bernie Williams all written all over him. His swing looks exactly like Bernie Williams. Same size, same everything. Very high on Josue de Paula. That was super exciting to get to see him on the main field. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Josue de Paula was at the single-A level last year at Rancho. Super excited to see him get to move up through the system. And as they move up, you'll know more about the type of adjustments, the type of power that he might have moving forward. That's an inside pitch that he out inside out of the other way. And you'll know more about him as he goes on. But man, when you just talk about tools and upper level ceiling type stuff, he is a real dude, really, really talented. Hey, LC, thank you so much for joining. We should sign Blake Snell. Short term, maybe we can't even get a deal, or maybe we can get a deal even though Boris is his agent. Yeah, that's rumor that he'll take a shorter deal. Probably would go up 2 years. Would make sense for the Dodgers, not much more than that. 1 year, as One Eye Dragon is saying, would be absolutely perfect. Hey, Norm Lee, Knack and Páez among 11 roster cuts today. Vinasco, Cartaya, and Fiducia also optioned. Yeah. That's not because of performance you're seeing that. That's just because of numbers. I mean, it's just a numbers game. We've been talking about this the entire time. We've been telling you what the 26-man roster was going to be. And to be honest with you, we've been pretty accurate with it just because we know how the Dodgers operate and they like a veteran club. Hey, Young Yee, if you make a team with a Dodgers prospect alone, they could be a better team than the 4 or 5 major league teams. That's how deep the Dodgers farm system is. And then let me multiply that, Young Yee. If you kept that team together and then that team played together for 2 or 3 years, what would you have 2 or 3 years from now? That's my biggest argument about using prospects is if you bring those guys up as talented as they are, you keep them together. Now, a year or two from now, when they have experience and have experience together, now you're liable to win multiple world championships. But hey, the Dodgers have constructed a ridiculously awesome lineup, and I'm super excited to see it. Nando says Paez should be given right field. Hey, Benji says, Casey, who is a hitter and pitcher in the Dodgers organization that young players should try to learn from? Simply put, the guy that people should learn from a hitting perspective, there's two guys, honestly. We're going to cover both of them right now, and let me get to them, and we're going to show you both of them. This is the first guy right here. Austin Gauthier. See how he stayed inside of that baseball? And it is translating to the spring training. This is a guy that in the past has hit at a higher oppo percentage than he does pull percentage. This is a guy that Coach LaChance, who, by the way, Coach LaChance there at Hofstra, his hitting coach, his head coach John Russo, but his hitting coach, Coach LaChance at Hofstra, worked with him the last three off seasons. He worked with him at Hofstra. He taught him how to stay inside the baseball. He taught him how to let the ball get deep. And because of that, this guy is just a remarkable, remarkable young hitter. And also, Austin Gauthier was an undrafted free agent, and he's climbing the ranks. And that is just absolutely 100% defeating the odds. Here's another guy, Taylor Young. This is a guy that was the all-time hits leader at Louisiana Tech, and that's a very high level. Look at that. See how he stays inside that ball. And also, he took a lot of time this last offseason in refining his stroke. This is a guy that stole 56 bases, and he is just simply a fantastic, fantastic young hitter. Let me back that up and see if you can't get a better look at that swing. We're not going to get a better look there. But this is a fantastic young hitter, Taylor Young. He just knows how to get on base. He knows how to get on. Look at that hit right up the middle on an off-speed pitch. Let me back that up. This is a slider that he's able to stay back on and go up the middle with. And that right there, slider up the middle, that is very, very, very advanced. No doubt about it. The guy that I would tell kids to emulate the most as far as the type of pitcher that, of course, if you can throw 1,000 miles an hour, that's always great. But the guy that I think has a little bit of everything to offer, that is a younger guy, of course, Eric Kiros is probably the smoothest pitcher that you could watch as far as a young guy. But this guy right here, Peyton Martin, he has everything. Look at his mechanics. I mean, it's over the top right here, right? See how balanced he is? He kind of has that old school windup to him. Okay, very balanced. You didn't get to see his balance there on his delivery. See how balanced that is? Over the top, which means he's able to get good north-south movement, and he's able to throw multiple pitches. See how he's able to locate up? Now watch where his foot lands. See how his foot lands right down the runway. I mean, some guys land over here in crossfire. Some guys open up. Watch his foot land every single time, though. Somebody's done great. See, right down the runway every single time. And because of that, and then the fact that he comes over the top, because of those two factors, he's going to be able to be a guy. Of course, he pulled that slider there. That should be able to be a big-time strike thrower with multiple pitches. See that? He's able to do that in his sleep. See how easy that looked to him to get that four-seam in the zone? Multiple pitches in the strike zone, and he's approaching 100 miles an hour. And he's only about 195 pounds right now. He's going to continue to fill out. He's only 19 years old. See that slider right there? And what I want you to notice about that slider as I back this up and we watch this one more time right there. Well, that's actually his fastball. Let me back it up one more time, see if we can't get to the slider that I mentioned just a minute ago. And there's that fastball, that four-seam up and into a lefty. Let's see if this is it right there. No, that's the fastball again. Peyton Martin, this may be it right here. Well, no, we're not going to get to it. But, hey, his slider is able to tunnel straight down the middle and turn left. His changeup's able to tunnel down the middle and turn right. He's able to ride the top of the zone. He has a very smooth motion. Just a whole lot to like about this 19-year-old youngster Peyton Martin and the ease of which he does it. See how he's able to start. Now watch this. This next pitch right here. See how he's able to start this on a middle tunnel right here? Middle tunnel. See that hit my arrow? But then it jammed that right-handed hitter. Watch that one more time. Watch it jam this right-handed hitter because it had fade to it. See what it come in. That's 99 moving in on a righty that starts on a middle tunnel. Now see how he carried the bottom of that zone? And then there is that huge slider. Huge slider for Peyton Martin. That is just simply big time stuff right there. See how that is a middle tunnel? He's starting that slider in that exact same middle tunnel as that fastball, but whoop, turn left. That is just absolutely awesome. And the mechanics, the ease of which he's able to get into that throwing motion, to me, he is the guy that I would emulate. Hey, another guy, if I could build a swing from scratch, let me get you another guy that I would choose to pattern my swing after. This guy, Trey Sweeney. You talk about a sweet swing, man. That swing right there, wow. That is a sweet swing, man. That's a swing that's in the hitting zone for a long time. Now, I get it. It's a swing that doesn't necessarily get the ball in the air, but I don't care, man. I love that swing right there of Trey Sweeney. That is a thing of beauty. So there are some guys that I would pattern myself after if I was a young guy in the Dodgers system. So thank you so much for that question. That's simply a fantastic question, Benji. So thank you so much for that. I just got refreshed on my chat, so let me get back up here. Hey, Norm Lee says, I still believe once Snell backs off the years, Philly will swoop in probably. Yep. Young E says, Paez can start in right field. Hayward comes off the bench. Yeah, my question, Young, would be, which position player do you take off of the 26-man roster? Hey, Brett says, should DePaula start Rancho or Great Lakes? My guess is Great Lakes. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Rancho for a couple of reasons. One, he's still 18 years old. Two is you have Zaire Hope and you have Kendall George. So can you imagine having Josue DePaula, Zaire Hope, Kendall George, all in the same outfield and all three move up at the exact same time and have them play together for 3, maybe 4 years before they ever hit the major league level? That would be cool. But my guess would be Great Lakes because he played last year at Rancho. Hey, Benji, thank you so much for pairing us for the background of these prospects. Thoroughly enjoying watching him in spring training. I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Benji. Thank you so much for that comment. Hey, Justin Lamas, they like Lux because he's from Wisconsin. Yeah, he is from Wisconsin. Elis Shiva, Casey, do you predict the Dodgers will sign Snell? I keep seeing this rumor on social media. If he comes down to 1, maybe 2 years, I think the Dodgers will give it very high consideration. But I think if that becomes the case, there's going to be a lot of teams that will want him, and I think they'll slightly one up the Dodgers because the Dodgers are in want mode and not need mode. So I do think at this point the odds would say no, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen the way that this offseason went. I know I kind of rode the fence there a little bit, but I would say not riding the fence wise. The odds would be closer to no than they would be yes. Hey, Denard says both Bobby Miller and Gavin Lux are somewhat under the radar. Both will be overachievers in 2024. Yeah, Lux looks great in blue, says One-Eyed Dragon. Hey, Elis Shiva, when during spring training did Cartaya get hurt? I don't know anything about that. I apologize for that. And I really don't have anybody that would give me information that I could take off the record. So I'm not going to be able to help you there. And I apologize for that, Elis Shiva. Cole, am I the only one worried about Will Smith at the plate? I'm not worried about him. I think he's going to be just fine because he's a great hitter. He has great plate discipline, and he's going to be in a lineup that's going to get him a lot of great pitches to hit. So in spring training, pitchers aren't trying to win games, Cole, and so they're not pitching sequences based on the lineup that they're facing. They're just trying to get the feel of their slider. They're trying to throw this pitch, that pitch. So when the season starts, Will Smith's actually going to start getting to see better pitches, because teams are going to be results-oriented, and because of that, they're going to be facing Mookie, Freddie, Shohei, then Will, and they're going to be doing it to where the runs actually matter, and at that point, they're going to have to challenge Will Smith a little bit more, and from that angle of things, I think Will's going to get better pitches to hit, and I think he's going to have a great year offensively. Hey, Elis Shiva, Cole, I was wondering also about Will Smith batting so far. I'm not worried about it at all from the perspectives that I gave. Hey, Cole. Okay. BC, everyone hitting over the Mendoza line in spring training except for Hayward, Smith, Hunter, and Barnes, of course. Ila Shiva says Owings and Padlo have been looking great so far. Let's get to a little Kevin Padlo talk. Man, I'll tell you what. When this guy, and he can play some third base, which, he's depth. Let's be very clear that Kevin Padlo is absolutely depth in this organization. There is no spot on the 26-man roster for him, but he is depth that can do that. He can play first base, he can play third base, and he has major league experience, and he's on a minor league contract. So I say all the time, when you talk about the fringe guys for the Dodgers, you know, they have their 13 pitchers, 13, they have their 13 position players. They love to have these veteran guys that are on minor league contracts as their depth. And they've typically speaking chosen the Kevin Padlos over the prospects. And I would agree, Padlo has looked good in spring training so far. Hey, Cole says Smith hasn't been the same since the injuries last year. I can't disagree with that. Ila Shiva says, how about Sweeney as potential future shortstop if Lux doesn't work out? Yeah, the problem is Trey Sweeney has not played past the AA level to this point. So you'd be taking Gavin Lux, who is a project at shortstop, and then putting in a guy at Trey Sweeney, who a lot of advanced scouts project and profile as probably an everyday third baseman. And so you'd be replacing a project with a project. So if the project of Gavin Lux doesn't work out, you're going to go with a sure thing. That's the problem you have there. So you can, I think you only have room on this team for one project. That project is Gavin Lux. So Trey Sweeney, I think, from that angle of things, I don't think he would be the one that would replace Gavin Stone. I think it would probably be Miguel Rojas or Chris Taylor in the short term, and then they would figure out what they're going to do in the long term, probably through trade prospects. Hey, Denard, Dodgers need to stop signing journeymen to one-year contracts. They're blocking the prospects. I'm so glad people are starting to think that way, because I totally agree. Yang Yi says, could it be Altman, Páez, Ramos starting outfield in 2025? Yes, it absolutely could. Let's get to some Jose Ramos talk, and let's take a look at him. And I said it last time, I'm going to say it again in case you didn't catch on to it or you weren't watching the show. Jose Ramos, the one thing that he absolutely had to do is this right here, put the ball in play more. He had strikeout rates that were too high and walk rates that were too low. So the organization challenged him to reduce his strikeout rate, increase his base on ball rate, and he has done it by doing that right there, by going up the middle, letting that ball get deep, cutting the swing down, and concentrating on putting the ball in play with two strikes. If Jose Ramos can gather hits, put more balls in play, walk more, we know the ranginess is there on defense. We know the home runs are going to come. At that point, similar to James Altman, it could be him in left, Altman in center, Páez in right, or Ramos in right, Páez in left. That very easily could be the starting lineup in 2025. Now, we know the Dodgers. That would give them a heart attack to put two rookies out in the outfield alongside James Altman. So will that probably happen? Who knows? I would say probably not, just because the Dodgers don't have a history of playing that young of a lineup. I certainly would enjoy it, no doubt about it. Hey, One Eye Dragon says Altman looks like a gamer. I totally agree. I love James Altman. And hey, one thing I really like about what Altman is doing in spring training, we've seen that before. If you watched our interview, my interview with James Altman, he mentioned that, you know, he doesn't try to do quite as much damage to lefties because it's harder to hit off of them. He did hit a home run against a lefty the other day. That was great to see. He's also hit some base hits on some breaking balls. He's also hit some balls that have been inside. That would say there's a breaking ball from a lefty. And by the way, that's Brian Hudson, the young man that the Dodgers traded just about a month and a half ago, that he hit that often off of. So you're talking about James Altman, who hit off of a lefty, a breaking ball off of a lefty. He's hit a home run off of a lefty, and then he hit the home run off of the right-hander as well the other day. And so James Altman's done a lot of things. Again, spring training's not, I say it, it's about the process. So what's the process for James Altman? We've seen him hit a home run off a lefty. We've seen him hit a breaking ball off a lefty. We've seen him do damage off a right-hander, and we've seen him steal bases. So from all of those angles of things, I think his process looks really, really good. Hey, Ilya Sheva, Gauthier is looking great. I would agree. Gregory says Will Smith will be fine. This is preseason. We have a long way to go. Hey, Steve Snell, thank you so much. I appreciate you too. He says, appreciate your great analysis. Thank you so much. And if you're on this show and you haven't hit that like button, please do. We have 59 likes. Let's get that thing over 100. And if you haven't done so, tell all your friends about Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. And definitely, if you haven't become a subscriber, do that. And most definitely, if you haven't hit that notification bell, make sure and turn on your notifications. One Eye Dragon says Soto is a total Yankee. Norm Lee, I wonder why the Dodgers haven't hired Brett Butler to do work with certain prospects who best profile as contact hitters, such as George, Vogel, and Sweeney. The Dodgers, I'm sure, they have outside. I can tell you this. That's how like Rob Hill got on. That's how Sean Coyne got on. They're both driveline guys, and the Dodgers do a lot of work. I'll say this. If you look at the guys that they work with, they do a lot of work that none of us know about. I actually do know about most of them, but they do a lot of work with guys that are outside of the system that they send guys to work with. So I will almost promise you that they have looked into something like that, because they have worked with many, many, many different people that are outside the organization. So normally another elite comment, and something I guarantee you, if not necessarily Brett Butler, other guys of similar ilk, they have actually done that. So great comment. Hey, Benji, will we see Jackson Ferris in spring training this year? Not exactly sure about that. Not sure why we haven't seen him yet. We've seen a lot of the prospects. Let's get a good look at Jackson Ferris here. Let's push it on over to him. Jackson Ferris, actually part of this video. I apologize. This is him. Number 44 is him. 23 is not. I did not know that. I actually had this video sent to me, and I ran with it. I should have double-checked it, but I didn't. And so part of this video is not Jackson Ferris. Only the 44 has. But I don't have any answers to that, Benji, as to why we have not seen Jackson Ferris, and don't know if we will see him in spring training yet. Again, that's fluid. I'm sure the Dodgers, they have a plan. But again, plans can change. Hey, hope we see Barnsey in Dodgers management when he stops playing baseball. That is Ilya Sheva. I think Austin Barnes would be a great manager. Don't disagree with that. Steve Snell, Dodgers would lose only top picks, not where they really could cook in the draft. Team signs Snell. Yong Yi says, with Kike and Taylor capable of playing every defensive positions, I believe Rojas could be redundant roster spot. Páez can take his roster spot. So Yong Yi is saying that you DFA Miguel Rojas. I think that you have to know, first of all, that's not going to happen. I'm not saying that what you're saying is a bad idea or any of that, but it's not going to happen because the Dodgers love Miguel Rojas. He's the second time around with the club. Guys like James Altman, the younger guys, have learned a tremendous amount from Miguel Rojas. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's a great mentor. And at this moment, he is plan B at shortstop. So until Gavin Stone takes this thing by the horn, and you know Gavin Lux is going to be able to handle shortstop on the everyday level, then Miguel Rojas is not even a consideration to DFA. But yeah, hey, that's definitely an outside the box type of thought there to get somebody like Andy Páez or Jose Ramos on the 26th. Hey, Steve Stell says Dodgers would lose. Yeah, nope, we've already read that comment. Hey, Denard says there are too many relief pitching. What's your 8 relief pitchers as of right now? So let's get back to the 40-man roster. Ryan Brazier is 1. I think let's go through the guarantees. Ryan Brazier is 1. Brusdar Graterol is 2. Joe Kelly is 3. Let's see, as we keep going down here, Evan Phillips is 4. Blake Treinen is 5. And Ryan Yarbrough is 6. So there's 6 right there. I think your other two are J.P. Feireisen or Daniel Hudson, and then probably Alex Vesia, I think, or Kyle Hurt. So between those 4, I think it's going to be 2. My best guess would be probably Daniel Hudson and Alex Vesia would take those 2 spots. That's just my guess. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before, and I could be wrong here, but that would be my guess on that. Hey, Cameron Block, every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, make sure and turn on those notifications so when we go live, you'll know that we did. Please tell Brubaker that we'll see him soon. All right, I will. Hey, Benji says, Casey, which prospect has impressed you the most besides Hurt and Páez? 100%, it's been Austin Gauthier. And not that I wasn't impressed with him, but I'm impressed that, hey, he had this great season. It would be easy to feel the pressure of trying to show everybody on the big scene. Guys like you that didn't probably see any of it bats last year, now you're finally getting to see everything about him. It would be easy for him to press and not perform quite as well. So the fact that he's been able to come up in spring training and not miss a beat, Austin Gauthier is the guy in that situation that has impressed me the most. I'll tell you, the other guy that I've always known he's good but has impressed me as far as becoming more fundamental and really rounding his game into major league shape, that guy is Jose Ramos. Jose Ramos has really impressed me. He's turning into a ball player instead of a guy just with a bunch of tools. So I love that about Jose Ramos, and that definitely has impressed me. Hey, Bob Student 10, just to throw a wrench, prospects will be trade bait for another starter. That's fine with me. You guys know me well enough to know I love it when the prospects get traded. I have put out on all my social medias all the different people the Dodgers have sent other places. When that happens, they get better chances to become major leaguers, and it's a win-win. So that would be just fine with me. Ilya Shiva, I think I just recently read something about Major League Baseball discussing making max number of pitchers set at 12. Any truth to this? Nothing that I've heard about that. I have not heard anything about that. They will not do that. There's no way. I just, the way that teams send their guys out there for, let me give you an example. So at Triple A last year, Landon Knack was the only starting pitcher for Triple A Oklahoma City to go 7 innings. The only pitcher to do it, and he only did it one time. So the way that guys aren't burning up innings, they're going to be more likely to add pitchers to the staff than they are. Now, if you wanted to, they're going to be more likely to add numbers to that versus subtract. So I would say that I don't think that would happen. I just don't think that would happen. Let me put you that way. Hey, Nando says DFA Austin Barnes. Yeah, I'm not saying you're necessarily wrong there from a results perspective, Nando, but that's just not going to happen. The Dodgers aren't going to do that. So, hey, Benji, I miss Ryan Pepiot. I do too. But I tell you what, let's get to it. Let's take a look at it. Tyler Glass now? Well, actually, we've already done that. We've already covered him, and we're coming down to the end of this. Tyler Glass now was nasty, man. 6'8", and that high-riding four-seam, that big, big curveball, that was super impressive. Benji says, channel is called Dodgers 30-30. Yep. Hey, yeah, Roy Estrada. Hi, Casey. Páez, a young green Tatis. Yeah, keep watching. Roy Estrada. Yep. Denard says, what did you think of the trade prospect swaps with the Twins? I have not looked at that yet. Normally, he says, I think only a trade or injury opens up a spot for any of the kids. I don't think a DFA is a likely option. Norm, you and I are on the exact same page there. If anything, there should be more pitchers. That's what I'm saying, BC. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, hey, I'm going to hang out for a couple more minutes. And if you have any more questions, we're going to get to that. But, hey, it was a great day. It was a great weekend of baseball, going all the way back to Kyle Hurt and his performance yesterday, Josue De Paula's home run, Austin Gauthier's grand slam, Tyler Glasnow's great outing, Gavin Stone's great outing today. And then how about that mustache of Michael Hobbs? Isn't that mustache just simply fantastic? Old Hobbsy, the all-time saves leader at St. Mary's College. So, hey, I don't see any more comments coming here or questions. So I think that's going to do it tonight for Dodgers Dogs as part. Hey, there's one right there. Yes, no doubt about it. Hey, thank you so much, Roy. Right there, coming in right at the buzzer. Well done, Roy. This would not have been a complete show if we did not show Miguel Vargas. Miguel Vargas, how about Miguel Vargas right here? Let me back that up. I actually clicked to the wrong one. Miguel Vargas. Hey, of course, this first hit right here wasn't a whole lot. I said it the other night, though. sometimes all you need just is a good feel-good hit, kind of like a scorer in basketball. Sometimes what you need is to make a layup, right? And just see the ball go through the hoop. Miguel Vargas needed a hit. So even though that hit wasn't impressive, it was a check swing hit. There was nothing to it. It gave him some confidence. It gave him some positive vibes, started making him feel better about himself to where he could do that right there. Home run to left center, Miguel Vargas. And then I'm not sure that home run was as impressive as his double. Let's watch his double coming here in just a second, because I'll tell you what, his home run, the timing went right. He hit the ball well. Everything went good. But I'll tell you what, you could tell he gained confidence, because watch this next swing coming up. There, look at that beautiful swing. Let me back that up and show you just how pretty that was and how well everything went on this swing. So this is good, Miguel Vargas. See how that barrel came through there? And everything went right for him. That's well and good. But this one's more impressive to me. Look how aggressive that swing is. By gosh, good job, Miguel Vargas. Atta baby, Miguel. Let's watch this one more time. Watch how aggressive he gets to this ball. Kabam, right there. Miguel Vargas right down the line. Atta boy right there. That's the Miguel Vargas that we have all come to know and love. That's what he's capable of doing. Hey, great job right there, Roy. Right at the buzzer, bringing up Miguel Vargas. Simply fantastic. Cole says Pawheads will be the next Dodgers Rookie of the Year. Ida Shiva says, will we see Jake Pilarski in spring training? I do not know. Ida Shiva, you're asking me a bunch of great questions that I don't have any answers for, so I'm failing you from that angle of things. So sorry about that, Ida Shiva, but if I could make something up, but if I don't have total information on something, I definitely don't run with it. Yong Yi, I recall Andy Pies and Jock Peterson were traded to the Angels. Yes, thank God that didn't go through. Hey, BC says Vargas is hitting 278. Tamatli says thought he looked good even today, though no hits. Bob Student 10 says great Dodgers weekend, great show, Casey. And Gregory says thanks, Casey, great show as always. So hey, that's gonna do it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's been a great show. Hey, Dodgers dogs, you are the best.